The word of the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 7, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things, sayings of mine, and doeth them, somebody say, do it, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And I want to continue on. I'll finish it tonight, Lord willing. Part two of No Sandcastles. No Sandcastles. Would you lift your voices to the Lord, and when we pray, Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, God. We pray that our hearts will be open, ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name, the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Luke 6 and 46 tells us, it says, and why call me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, notice this, and heareth my sayings and doeth them not, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. Notice this, it couldn't shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth it not is like a man which built a house upon the earth or flesh, and the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately, somebody say immediately, it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It was great. And I won't give too much detail or introduction like I did last time, but we find here in Matthew 7, Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving a word of warning and affirmation to all that are listening. And he gave this sermon on a hillside near Capernaum. Those of you that have gone to Israel, you remember this. It's just a great big open field on a hill, and then on the other side of that hill would be the Sea of Galilee. And so he's speaking to those that, the Bible says there was a multitude that came, and they were listening to Jesus teach. And in fact, in Matthew 7, it really starts with Matthew 5, but he's ending it in Matthew 7, and he's saying, you've heard me talk about teaching, and you've heard me talk about prayer and laying treasures up in heaven. He's talked about forgiving your enemies and loving one another. He talks about temptation. He talks about divorce, salt of the earth. He talks about the Beatitudes. And then he says, you've heard all this, but if you don't do what you've heard, you're like a man that built his house upon the sand. And we're talking tonight about building our lives, our relationship with the Lord. On I'm OCD. Gosh, you guys know I'm crazy. God help me. And so he's talking about building a relationship, or we're talking about building a relationship on the Lord. But I also want to add, you're building your ministry. You're building your marriage. You're building your business, your finances. Everything you need is in the house, or is in the Word of God. Amen. Everything you need for your spiritual, physical, financial, mental, emotional life is found in the Bible. There's absolutes, there's principles, and we're talking tonight about building something that's going to last, a marriage that's going to last, stewardship that'll last, ministries and anointing that will last, relationships and friendships that will last, but ultimately a relationship with the Lord that will last regardless if it's perilous times, that your relationship with the Lord will last. Building a house is a simple analogy of building a life. Jesus had knowledge of carpentry. He of course, we understand that from Scripture. James 4 and 14 tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanish it away. Psalm 102 and 3 tells us, kind of breaks it down a little bit more. It says, for my days are consumed like smoke. We're building a life. We're building ministries. We're building a church. We're building marriages. We're building businesses. But are we building them on the principles and absolutes of the Word of God? It's not lack of knowledge. We're not lacking for knowledge. There's a famine in the land, and it's not because of knowledge. It's a famine because of lack of obedience and the Word of God. Heeding to the Word of God. We'll make statements like, well, I just got to work a little bit longer, and then next time or next year or next month, just a few more hours, just if we can get that next promotion, if I can hire this next person, if I can sell this next house, if I can buy this next business, if I could get another degree, you know, it'll be better. But could I just go back to what the bishop has instilled into the fabric of this church? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It don't get any better than that. It's not only is that an absolute, but that's a principle that you can apply to every aspect of your life. That is building a house. That is not building the sandcastle. Amen. Jesus in our scripture text provides us with two options. Do it his way or do it the foolish way. Jesus tells us in John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he shall that believeth on me shall never thirst. That ought to motivate us to whatever you're pursuing, whatever you're trying to build, to make sure, not that Jesus is a part of it, not that the church is a part of it, not that your relationship with God is a part of it. You can't mix sand and rock together and say, well, I'm gonna just kind of mix it. It don't work that way, friend. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. John 14 and 6 tells us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If things are falling apart in your world, there's got to be a reason why. You can only lean on, well, I didn't have a good example for so long. You can only make excuses like, well, you know, it's the pandemic. You can only use the phrase, well, I didn't know any better. Nobody taught me. I wasn't given the opportunity. You can only use that for so long. It only works for a couple years in your adulthood. At some point in time, you need to look at yourself. You need to pull the layers back. You need to knock down the sheetrock. You need to knock down the walls and say, you know what? I'm going to start over, and I'm going to build on the Word of God, and I'm going to do it right because I want something that's going to last. No sandcastles in your life. You don't want sandcastle marriage. Nobody gets married and says, well, yeah, this time next year we're going to be divorced. Right? Nobody goes into a family and says, yeah, you know, I could see I'm going to have problems with the in-laws for sure. They're going to be the outlaws in 30 days. But you find a way. You figure it out. You count the cost. You consider what it's going to take. We'll start a business and say, yeah, well, they'll give it 2 weeks and I'll be out of business. Right? No. You know, get in church. When you get on your job, they put you through orientation and training. Then you're on what they call probation for 90 days. Sometimes a year. Some of you've been on probation a couple times, but I'm talking about a different probation. Amen. Talking about a job. And then they kind of you know, it's training. Living for God takes discipline. You're in the Lord's army. Amen. He's training you. He's equipping you. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for such a time as this. Maybe God's repositioning you. I have felt this so strong that the Lord has been repositioning churches, myself and this church, for such a time as this. We're leaning on him and we're depending on him. Amen. So some people were all about the conferences. I love the Hammond, the organ, to be, but I've gotten a greater appreciation just being in this place with no music. Amen. Just talking to the Lord, just preaching. to an empty building. Yeah, I've preached to an empty building before. I come in here and say, Lord, I'm going to preach to four. There's a whole bunch. I got to come in here. And I testify to myself. I prophesy to myself and say, Lord, I'll never take this place, this congregation for granted. I don't want to build a sandcastle church. I want to build an apostolic Pentecostal church. Sometimes storms come and they clear paths. Sometimes they make a mess. But every storm has a purpose. We see temporal afflictions. We see the torrents of rain. We see the passions of men. It's all got a purpose. The storms of life come to everybody. If you're taking notes tonight, the first point I want to make is nobody's exempt from storms. You may have been huddled up inside your house the last 2 days, but it rained. Yeah. If you went outside, you probably got a little bit wet, maybe. Blown away. That's why you should eat more tacos so you don't blow over so fast. Hallelujah. All the taco lovers, say amen. Amen. I think sometimes one of the biggest misunderstandings we tend to fall victim of or the devil would like to play on you, is that you must be doing something wrong because you're going through a trial or a tribulation. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 through 12 tells us, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fish, notice verse 12, as the fish that are taken in a net, an evil net, time and circumstance happen to all. Some folks talked about needing a roof for all last year. They forgot about it because we've been in a drought. And then it rained yesterday. And they remember they needed a roof. Some of you have had cracks in your relationships. Here we go. You've had cracks in your finances. You've had cracks in your family. You've had cracks in your ministry. And you're trying to patch it all up. Always trying to patch it up. At some point in time, you got to knock the wall down. And you got to make sure the foundation is right. If it started out cheating, it'll end in cheating. If it started out in the flesh, it'll end in the flesh. What God started in the spirit is going to end in the spirit. Come on. It started at an altar. Let the fire of the altar never burn out. Come on, somebody. He didn't put us on a sandcastle. He put us on a solid rock. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail again. He didn't say, I'm going to build you a sandcastle. He said, I'm building a church, an apostolic Pentecostal church. Life happens. Getting old is part of life. Getting sick and the flu is part of life. By the way, we're in flu season. If you're not feeling good, stay home. Eating too many tamales and salsa at night at a certain age is going to catch up to you. Brother Jurazic, you can only use the credit card so much without paying the bill before it affects you. Come on, somebody. Heartburn is part of life. But when you're serving the Lord, you have the strength of the Lord. You have the support of the church. You have the prayers of the saints. And you have the assurance of the Word of God. Paul says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through myself. Right? I can do all things through more hours on my job. I can, no, through Christ, which strength. Your strength comes from the Lord. Nehemiah talked about it. Nehemiah chapter 8. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah wasn't interested in building a sandcastle wall, right? Firm foundation. He took the rubble. Because it was a sure thing. You may be left with rubble, but if it's a rock, you can rebuild and build again something that will last. Come on, somebody. No sandcastles, no sandcastle relationships, no sandcastle stewardship, no sandcastle ministries, no sandcastle churches, and definitely no sandcastle relationship with the Lord, that every trials, tribulation, every circuit, every bump in the road, you fall out of the church. No, fall down, fall forward, get back up and say, Lord, rejoice not against me, O my end, for when I fall, I shall arise. Somebody say, I'm getting back up. We talked about it last time, but both men faced the storm. They were both faced with the same storm. One made the choice to hear and go build on the sand. Another one made the choice to hear and go build on a rock. Notice what the scripture says, that the rains came, the stream rose. And the winds, it's plural, the winds blew. May have been one after another. Sometimes you have one trial after another. One tribulation after another. Right? Tribulation is pressure. It's affliction, it's anguish, it's persecution. These things are going to happen to us as we're in our walk with the Lord. Don't worry, on Sunday I'll preach about Christmas. But you may be feeling a little pressure. Pressure from your peers. Pressure to compromise. But when you have built your life on the relationship of the Lord, when you have built your business or your marriage or your finances or your ministry on the biblical absolutes and principles, you can stand firm on the Word of God. And with conviction, remind yourself, I'm not building a sandcastle, but I am building a sure house, marriage, relationship, stewardship on the Word of God. On the Word of God. I felt to start this series, it's only been two Wednesdays, I'll finish tonight, because we're like going through some things in society, lawlessness. Out of control. Hasn't affected us yet, but lawlessness. We've got climate change, right? You just read the Word of God. I'm not going to go back and regurgitate it or everything, but just read the Word of God. It talks about earthquakes and famines in diverse places. No surprise the tornadoes go into parts of the country and just does what it does. It's terrible, some of the things that are taking place. It's awful, some of the things that are taking place in our state, in our country, and in the world. But it's in the Word of God.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And we either believe what the Word of God says and we stand and we live it and we proclaim it, or we read it and we don't live it. And then something comes our way and we become a sandcastle. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, notice Paul's just, he's real. He's all, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus tells us in John 16 and 33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Education's awesome. I'm all about it. What do I say? If you can spiritually handle it and you can financially afford it, get all you can get. Working hard is necessary, right? If a man don't work, shouldn't eat. Having nice things or stuff is fun. It's comforting. But none of that matters if you're building a sandcastle. Because it'll get washed up real quick. Sandcastles look cool. All right, everybody stands around at Pismo and they look at the sandcastles, they take pictures, it ends up on social media. But when the rain comes, or the waves come, or a big dude on a surfboard comes, or a dog comes, knocks it over. And the rock is right there next to it. And it gets wet, it gets stepped on, but the rock doesn't break. The rock doesn't crumble. The rock is there. You can't mix sand and rock together and expect not to be any trouble. You can't say, well, I know what the Word of God says. I know what the platform standard says. I know what pastor says. I know what God wants, but this is how I feel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to live for God based on how you feel. Because if you were like me on Monday morning, you didn't feel like getting out of bed at 5:30 in the morning, right? You wanted to stay in bed till 5:30 in the evening. You'd be like, yeah, let's get this party started now. It was cold, it was wet, it was Monday. But you sometimes don't feel like going to work, right? You don't feel like making dinner. I don't know a kid that feels like going to school during Christmas break, right? Can I get an amen? Right? There's a lot of things we don't feel like doing. You don't always want to feel like wearing a skirt. You don't always want to feel like dressing holy and talking holy. But hey, the Bible doesn't say anything about your feelings. You got to get over your feelings. Your feelings will send you to a place where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's sandcastle living, baby. I want to live in the realm of heaven. There's a reason why there's taking a long time to get there. It's because God is merciful, but it's also because He's preparing a place for us that where He go, we can go also. Romans tells us, Romans 8 and 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I don't want to be against God. Anybody want to be against God? Be against the devil. Be against sin. But don't be against God. Don't be against your brother. You're not in competition with one another. You should be completing, celebrating, rejoicing. You ought to be one another's biggest fans. Come on, somebody. Sandcastle living one with relationship one to another will get you in trouble. You begin to get bitter and jealous and envy and vindictive. That is from the pit of hell right for itself. The Bible says rejoice with those that rejoice. Come on, somebody. Don't swap your foundation built on Jesus for a season of sandcastle living. I don't care if you're on vacation. Don't swap your lifestyle of holiness for a few temptations and a weekend full of sinful decisions. Say, well, I'll go to church on Sunday. The devil is a liar. Yeah. You know you're going to be here Sunday? Really?
Come on. That's good.
Don't celebrate Christmas and miss the entire point of it all. Come on, somebody. 1 John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of God, it's of the world. People will pay hundreds and thousands of dollars every day to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hide it from their coworkers, hide it from their spouses, from their boss. Where you know they become addicted. They use terms like I'm functioning. You're not functioning. You're a slave to the sin. The carnal man has curiosities. You got to keep that dude in check. It'll all lead us down to a path of trading your relationship, your business, your spiritual integrity, your ministry, your anointing. Leaving that and trading that for a sandcastle that looks good. The devil himself tempted Jesus. You don't think he can tempt you?
That's good right there, Pastor.
Second point is don't lean on yourself, but lean on the Lord. When you lean on yourself, you're limited. In fact, you're limited regardless. I'll say it again. I say it often. But we can't even breathe on our own. We're limited. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, our sufficiency is of God. It's a powerful Bible verse. Maybe you want to highlight that in your Bible. Each of us has limitations. You can only go so long without food. Right? You can only go so long without oxygen. You can only go so long without sleep. You can only go so long pretending. We can only paint, repaint this wall so many times before we gotta redo it. But if we lay the foundation down right, and it's done right, you can knock the walls down and rebuild something different on the same foundation. Amen. Right? People do it all the time, especially where we live. The closer you get to the ocean, right? Sister Thompson, they'll buy the house, tear it down, keep the same foundation, and build something completely different. Why? Because the soil is good. The view is good. The foundation is good. But everything else was mildew and rotten and old, outdated. It was from whenever, when. The saints of God, we've got to make sure as you grow, as you move forward, that in every aspect of your life, finances, marriage, ministries, and ultimately your relationship with the Lord, that it is built on the Word of God. It is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It is repentance in baptism in Jesus' name, fully immersed in water. It's the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's holiness outside, inside. It's worship. It's stewardship. It's praise. It's submission. It's obedience. It's what God has called us to be. He called us to be a people called out of darkness for such a time as this. We're all limited, either in resources, with talent, with knowledge, with energy, right? Some of you are you're feeling the sleepies right now. John 15 and 5 tells us, notice this, powerful. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do some things. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. But the Lord's not limited. He's infinite. Psalmist tells us, great is our Lord and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. We are not always going to understand what God is doing, why he's doing it. Anybody in the last 2 years ask the Lord, what's really going on? Nobody? Right? Like, Lord, what are you doing? Tell me, please, tell me. So I could get on the radio and tell everybody, calm down. This you're just like, what? But he is looking for us to heed his word and be obedient and lean on him. Right? Before the Lord did something, he would give instruction. Right? Hit the people to sit down and he'd feed them. People got to the Red Sea. Lord asked Moses, what do you got in your hand? Okay, now put your staff over the water. Right? Tells Joshua, this is what you're going to do for 7 days. You know, just do what's going to happen. He tells the disciples, get in the boat and we'll go to the other side. Yeah. And there's a storm. If they would have listened, Sister Christy, hey, we'll go to the other side. So he said, we'll get to the other side. But somebody say me, we like to control the narrative. Right? I know it's a cliche. He's got to take the wheel. But some of us, he's got the wheel. You got your hand on the wheel, and you're telling him to pull over. Right? I mean, like seriously, he's a spare tire for some of you. The Lord doesn't change. Nothing's too hard for him. He's so awesome. He's acquainted, the Bible says, with all of our ways. Yes, those people with two and three personalities, he's acquainted with them too. He is so awesome, he even begs the question in Jeremiah 32 and 27. He says, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Life is rough. Finances are tough. Dealing with people in the church and out of church is not always easy. But it's worse if you're not walking in step with the Lord, if you're not praying, if you're not going to church. But it's worse if you don't heed to the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Don't lean on yourself. Trust in Him. But Pastor, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. And how's it working out for you? Remember the Apostle Paul on the ship? He knew more about being shipwrecked than he knew about manning a ship. But he was walking with the Lord, and the angel of the Lord stood by him and told him what was going to happen. But nobody wanted to listen to the man of God or the word of God. Somebody say, no sandcastles. We make statements like, I got this. Do we really got this? But he does. And every day we're reminded that he's in control and we're not. And all we're asked to do is what the psalmist reminds us about. From the rising until the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. In your finances, in your relationships, yes. Amen. In your businesses, in your ministries, hallelujah. And ultimately in your relationship with the Lord. Don't lean on yourself. Don't build a fancy sandcastle. Hear this, and disregard the updates about the pending storm. Don't tell your kids about Christmas, but never teach them about Jesus. Don't brag about your accomplishments and not share the gospel or testify to somebody. You might be building a sandcastle. If the only time we pray is when we're in a storm, can I tell you? You're either going to be going into a storm, you're either in a storm, or you're about on your way out of a storm. The only time you worship is when you're on the schedule. You might be building a sandcastle. Lean on Jesus. Depend on Jesus. Follow Jesus. Make sure your faith is built on Jesus, not on conferences and camp meetings and conventions and the organ and a full praise team and the choir. You know, let me just tell you, Sunday nights aren't coming back. I don't know when the choir is coming back. I'm just happy to have church. I'm just happy to be in the presence of the Lord with God's people. Come on, somebody. Psalmist says in Psalm 139 and 23, search my neighbor, O God, and let me know you guys are awesome. And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Yeah. Who are you spending time with? Who are you going to for advice? All the divorced people about your marriage? All the broke people about stewardship? Blessed is the man. Psalm tells us that doesn't stand, walk, but his position. The blessed have a certain posture, a certain positioning. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, be not deceived, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Some of you know better. You know better. Do the people you associate with, do they build you up or tear you down? Do they gossip and complain, or do they rejoice and celebrate? Are they depending on themselves, or are they depending on Jesus. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 13 and 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When the foundation is good, it's going to be okay. But when the foundation is not good, there will be cracks. You will know it. We will know it. But ultimately, God will know it. But there's good news. There's restoration. There's help. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's power. There's love. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. He'll do it again and again and again and again. Got to dig deep. Dig deep. Proverbs. Hope you're reading Proverbs. Let me share something with you. Sister Parra, if you would just come tonight, just the hum of the organ. Thank you. Anybody ever go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Pisa, Italy? Anybody go? People from all over the world go see this. Leaning Tower of Pisa. Not pizza, but Pisa. We're all fasting tomorrow. We're talking about tacos and pizza. Praise the Lord. For somebody sent me crumble cookies today. Crumble cookie. On the front door, leaning on the front door. I had to open it, just fell in. So I had to, can't leave them out there. Leaning Tower of Pisa, the city of Pisa, Italy, started building in 1173. It was finished in 1399. 251 steps. 14,500 tons. It's located next to the Cathedral of Pisa. This is real data here. It's leaning, right? How many have seen the pictures or saw it on YouTube? It's leaning. Pisa got its name in 600 BC from a Greek word meaning marshy land. There are several other towers in Pisa that also lean. The bell tower at the church, the bell tower at another church, a cathedral, and the baptistry is also sinking. The reason why the Tower of Pisa leans. When designing the tower, a tilt was probably not part of the original plans. However, the architects overlooked the fact that it was to be built on marshy swampland. So here we are. The tower, Leaning Tower of Pisa, Sobrino, was built on a swamp. There's a reason why it's leaning. There's a reason why some of you are leaning in the wrong direction. Burdens. You know what a burden is? Something on your back. Leaning. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. You can only lean over so far before you're hunched over. It's time for some of you to straighten up more ways than one. No sandcastles. No more leaning towards the world, towards sin, towards things God delivered you from, but you're poking the bear. Mm-mm. Time to straighten up. You gotta. It's not how you started 2021. How are you going to end 2021? You're going to go into 2022 with the same. After all we've been through? Seriously? Come on, somebody. Really? After all God brought us through and to and from and what we've gone through, right? Quit leaning in the wrong direction. We stand tonight. No sandcastles. No sandcastles. But trust in the Lord. Not fear. Come on, that's trying to stir up again. Mm-mm. Not going to happen. Not this time. Mm. Smart, wise, informed, right? But not fear. Spirit of fear, no more. Not my under the blood. It's gone. Mm. No sandcastles. No sandcastles. We lift our hands unto the Lord. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord?